of heights to the depths of the sea.
Back in our text now in verse 16, Jesus says, well, you'll know false prophets. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The obvious answer is no. You get apples from an apple tree. You get oranges from an orange tree. The tree bears the fruit from what it was really in on the inside. Whatever's in on the inside is what comes out. Kind begets kind. Doesn't it tell us that in Genesis?
Exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. Place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly pray.
Welcome everyone and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. We guard ourselves against false prophets by taking heed to their fruits. This means paying attention to several aspects of their life and ministry. We should pay attention to the manner of living a teacher shows. Do they show righteousness, humility, and faithfulness in the way they live? We should pay attention to the content of their teaching. Is it true fruit from God's word, or is it man-centered, appealing to the ears that want to be tickled? We should also pay attention to the effect of their teaching. Are people growing in Jesus or merely being entertained and eventually falling away? Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching, already in progress.
They're going away on vacations with their secretaries and nobody knows about it. And all of these kinds of things happen. And these are false teachers and false prophets. And they despise authority. They have no accountability. They reject any accountability whatsoever. So they despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. It's only about them and their image and what they want to project. And they're not afraid to speak evil or falsely of heavenly powers or authorities, blaspheming God and the angels and making fun of them. I've seen some horrific things, even some worship leaders talking of, you know, speaking of God in such an irreverent fashion, and pastors and women pastors who shouldn't be pastoring. It's not that they're not good. It's not that they can't teach, but that God has given them a role. But we've had over the years individuals that even came into this church and they really weren't interested in getting saved. They weren't interested in continuing in their being fed in the word and growing in their fellowship here. But they were here to draw away disciples for themselves. They were here to confuse people over certain doctrines, being divisive and combative. We've had that happen. And we've had to talk to individuals. And some individuals, we had to just tell them, listen, you can't come back here. You can't come back. And although false prophets and teachers can be women, many and most of them are single men. Many of them are single men or married men, and they try to lure women into their web. They lavish compliments on them, desiring to isolate them by inviting them to their Bible study that they're hosting, and only for the young woman to show up and find, interestingly enough, that no one was there for the Bible study except for her and this host of the Bible study. Must be a coincidence. But such is the nature of a false prophet and a false teacher. They allure. There's an individual governing our state who visited a church in Brooklyn on September 26, 2021. At the Cultural Christian Center. It's a mega church of about 40,000 people. And she had this to say about those who were hesitant on getting the COVID vaccination. She had made a mandate. Everybody had to be vaccinated. If you were in any kind of work whatsoever, you were mandated to do it or you were going to lose your job. So getting frustrated, she goes to the churches, and I just want to share this with you. This is what she said.
We are not through this pandemic. I wished we were, but I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But
you know
there's people
ones.
Out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another.
Pretty interesting. I want you to be my apostles. God wants you to do it. God wants you to do this. She wasn't speaking on God's behalf. God did not call her to speak for him concerning this. I believe that and I know that. What she spoke wasn't true. The vaccine wasn't and isn't a true vaccine. We know that now, and it didn't even keep people from getting the virus, and it didn't keep it from spreading. If she was speaking for God, the vaccine would have been effective, but it hasn't been, and the powers that be have been suppressing the truth and hiding it from us. And those things are true. She invoked God and belittled others for choosing not to take it. She replaced medical doctors who wouldn't take the vaccine with members of the National Guard. And then thousands in New York City and thousands of others all around New York State, a few in this room here this morning with us, they lost their jobs because they didn't take the vaccine. But she's going to invoke God. She's not speaking for God. On October 2nd, about 11 days ago, our governor made an announcement at Judson Memorial Church in New York City, and the governor announced a $13.4 million was awarded in this second round of the Abortion Provider Support Fund, and this is what she had to say.
Well, this is the next stop on the journey to let the nation know that this is the state of New York, and we will protect
abortion,
she's a woman's
about.
Right to a safe and legal abortion. It's happening here in our state. To Abigail and Jacqueline, thank you for sharing that story, that history that shows the courage of the early congregants of Judson Memorial at a time when abortion was actually illegal in the state of New York. It became legal 3 years ahead of Roe v. Wade, but this was 1967, 3 years before it was legal even in our state. So that is the courage of these social justice actions taken by churches all across America, whether it was the right for civil rights, the rights for women's rights, or rights to women's autonomy over their bodies. So I commend you and to everyone involved in this congregation for inspiring us and letting us know that God is out there on our side as we continue to make sure that women have the rights that they are, that are God-given rights, as you mentioned. So thank you very much.
So a God-given right to abort a child. And thank you for being on our side. God is on our side. This couldn't be worse than, I can't imagine. She invoked the Lord, used the pulpit in this church in Brooklyn, not only to misrepresent God and his word, but then sharing this with people in the pews to further her radical left agenda. This is false, and it's blasphemous. And yes, please pray for her. Seriously, pray for her. God calls us to do that. Pray for our governor. Pray for those in authority over us. It's important. But not only are there false prophets and false teachers outside the church, but they also have come within the church. We know this in Acts chapter 20. What does it tell us? Paul, speaking to the elders, warning the elders at Ephesus in verse 28 of Acts 20, says this. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the flock of God, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul is like, his heart is breaking. He says, my departure is near, and when I leave, they're going to come in. Men from within the church are going to rise up and speak blasphemous things, false prophets and false teachers. And you know, this next video I'm going to show you, it's very short, but it's a video of Joel Osteen saying that being a person of faith is all that matters to get into heaven, regardless of what religion you belong to.
I'm going to have a vote for the Republican nominee for president. The leading candidate is a Mormon, Governor Romney. Tell me how you see Mormonism, his religion, and how you define it within the Christian community.
Well, you know, what I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. Well, I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
And that's enough for you?
Yeah, that's enough for me. I mean, there's differences in all religion. I realize Mormonism is different from Christianity, but you know what? He's a man of faith and values, and to me, that's strong.
What do you think about that? Is he speaking the truth? No, he's not. There are many other, and that's the last one I'm going to show you today. But denying Christ and saying that all roads ultimately lead to God, that's basically what he's saying. He's a man of faith. Whether you're a Hindu, a person of faith, or a Mormon, that's a false prophet. That is a false teacher. This is not good, folks. And yet, they're all around. And there's a famine in the world, in the United States, for the true word of God. We need to get back to this. We need to get back to the old paths. What does it tell us in Jeremiah? He says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but they've rejected it. And so God calls us to be careful to listen to his word, to obey him, and to stay on that narrow path, which is everlasting life with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do, is we need to stay on that narrow path. Don't listen to the false prophets and the false teachers. And believe me, YouTube and everything is filled with them. Even on TBN. False teachers, false prophets. Back in our text now in verse 16, Jesus says, well, you'll know false prophets. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The obvious answer is no. You get apples from an apple tree. You get oranges from an orange tree. The tree bears the fruit from what it was really in on the inside. Whatever's in on the inside is what comes out. Kind begets kind. Doesn't it tell us that in Genesis? That's why you will never see a monkey giving birth to a wallaby or a stingray giving birth to a black-tipped shark. You won't see it. And the wolf or the false prophet eventually reveals who they really are, because they can only disguise themselves for so long. Like that sheep and that wolf in sheep's clothing that I showed you earlier. Eventually it becomes known and you find out really what they are. So Jesus goes on and says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And see, it is God's desire that we abide in him and that we bear much fruit. In fact, in John chapter 15, and I'm just going to get down to verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine. He wants you to bear fruit. Because a good tree bears good fruit. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, notice, bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. Notice, how is the Father glorified? That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So I think fruit is something that the Lord is looking for. And he's looking for in you and I. Because you and I have been born of his Spirit if you're a child of God. And that fruit, that Spirit of God that's in you is going to manifest itself outwardly, right? That's what a tree does. That's what a seed does when you plant it in the ground. Eventually that seed dies and it begins to germinate. And then next thing you know, a little sproutling comes out. Then next thing you know, it gets a little bit bigger and another sprout. Pretty soon, you've got big, beautiful apples growing on that tree. And wow, it's an apple tree. Yes, because an apple seed was planted. And so you and I, we can know them by their fruits. This word know in verse 20 in our text is the word epigenosko, which means to recognize or become fully acquainted with. That's what Jesus is saying. Therefore, by their fruits, these false prophets and these false teachers, you will know them. You'll become acquainted with them. And this is not judging, but knowing them by their fruits. And fruit takes a while to produce. It takes a while for it to mature and to reveal itself. But notice in our text now, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, notice, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Notice what he says there. He who does, not just the one who talks about it. See, I can talk about it all I want, but if it's not evident in my life, people have a right not to listen to me. Because if I don't do what I believe, then it proves that I really don't believe it, right? So it's not enough to just talk the talk. We need to walk the walk as well. And pray for me, because often I have to preach and I have to teach about things that I'm still growing in, things that are even beyond me still that I've got to share with you out of faith because I'm not quite there yet. It's going to take time for me as it is you, because we're all growing in this together, aren't we? And so it's going to take time. So pray for me and let's pray for one another that we would walk in that. In Philippians, what does it tell us? For it is God who works in you both to will and then to do of his good pleasure. First to will, Lord, I'm willing. And then he's like, okay, great, the battle's over now. All I got to do is show you what to do because I'm willing. I'm willing to do it. In James, Jesus' half-brother, in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, be doers of the word of God, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, I deceive myself when I listen to these things in the word of God and I decide, well, I'm just going to handpick the things that I like and the things that I don't like. And what happens is I deceive myself because I'm claiming to do them, I'm claiming to believe in them, but I'm not doing them. And there's the rub. There's the problem. And see, that's why God wants us to be doers of the word. And it's not our doing that justifies us. No, it's our faith in God. It's our faith in God. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 15, Samuel upbraiding Saul for his lack of obedience in wiping out the Amalekites as the Lord commanded him, but he kept back some of it. And then finally, Saul's like, well, I did the will of the Lord. I did the will of the Lord. And Samuel's like, no, you didn't. God told you to go the whole distance, and you didn't go the whole distance. You didn't completely do what God wanted you to do. And so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You could bring all of the stuff you want, but you were being disobedient. No, you have to do what God says. In 2 Kings, we've been looking at this on Thursday nights, and I would encourage you to come Thursday nights. We're in the Old Testament, and by the way, the Old Testament is still part of the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. It's all the Word of God. And so if you're only coming on Sunday mornings, you're only getting half of it. Come Thursday nights. I love Thursday nights. And I love getting into the Old Testament because there's so much in there that it's all the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in 2 Kings, you remember chapter 5, Naaman, who was this general of Syria, he was a well-renowned man, a great warrior. He came down with leprosy. And so finally, he goes to the king of Syria and tells him about this. Of course, the king knew about this. And there was a young Hebrew slave who was working or serving as a slave for the king of Syria. And this young Hebrew girl said, I know of a prophet back in Israel that can heal Naaman. And so the king goes, great. He loads up some mules, some people, a bunch of gold, a bunch of silver, and some changes of clothing. He says, go down to Samaria and talk to this, you know, this king. And so finally, Naaman went with his horses, and this is in 2 Kings 5, verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood outside of the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. There's your prescription. He didn't even come out of his house. He sent a messenger. I mean, think of that. Here's this man with all the pomp and ceremony. He's on his horse. He's got all of his guys. He's got a load of gold and silver and clothing he's going to give to this prophet if he could heal him. And the prophet doesn't even come outside. He's probably in there by the fire, you know, with his Bible open. Now just tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he'll be healed. Go tell him. And Naaman's outside. What? Do you know who I am? I'm Naaman. I'm the commander. I'm like the big shot. And now you send me a messenger? You send me a tweet? You send me a text? Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And so, but Naaman becomes furious. He went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place that had leprosy and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, aren't they better than all the waters of Israel? And they were. In the natural, I mean, those two rivers were up there right at the base of Mount Hermon, clear as crystal, cold as ice, flowing down from the mountain. And then the Jordan River, about 100 miles south of that, is kind of muddied and not so clean. And you're telling me to go in the Jordan and wash and I'll be clean? And notice, So he turned away and he left in a rage, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then? So he says, go down there and wash and be clean. And so he did. He went 7 times, dipped himself in the muddy water of the Jordan, and he became clean. And his body was like, his flesh was like that of a child again. But what was it? He obeyed. He didn't just hear. He heard it, and he didn't like it. So he was about ready to leave, and thank God his servant says, hey, if he would have asked you to climb a tree and spout the Hebrew alphabet in reverse, wouldn't you have done it? Okay, I'll do it. So even in a half-hearted way, he goes down to the Jordan. He dips 7 times, and behold, after he's obedient to the Lord, after he listens, his heart wasn't even completely in it. Can you see how wonderful God is? He responds to obedience even when our faith is struggling. But he did it, and he was healed. Do you see? And that's why Jesus said, you know, people can tell me, Lord, Lord. He's like, no, unless they do. It's important that you do. And yet, it's not those works that save us. We know that. In Ephesians 2, it tells us, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Notice, we are created in Christ Jesus for what? For bad works? No, for good works. See, it's totally backwards from the way the world thinks. The world thinks, do good works, you get to heaven. God says, no, I've already done everything for you. Believe in me. And then as a result of my spirit dwelling in you, you're going to do the good works. But you're not justified by your works. You're justified by faith.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.